Hello everyone, Annette and Ada here, and welcome back to another episode of A Course in Miracles with Annette and Ada. Today, we're in Lesson 211. Here is our idea for the day. I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me.
And today we'll be reviewing Lesson 191. I am the Holy Son of God Himself. In silence and in true humility, I seek God's glory, to behold it in the Son whom He created as my true self.
I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me.
So I want to go back to Lesson 191 and just look at it here for a second, because I don't remember... Yeah, okay. So when I hear, I am the Holy Son of God Himself, in silence and in true humility, I seek God's glory. In silence, I guess what's really coming up for me today is that's more than like meditation or sitting quietly. And maybe it's because I've been very busy lately, but I'm thinking, you know, in silence, for me, what I'm going to take away from that today is that means that I don't have to make things happen myself so much, you know, like so much of my life, and I'm getting better at this, but I can still see where it has come up where, you know, I kind of think that I may have to make things happen. And for me, in silence, really, you know, really stuck out for me today, you know, where it's like, wow, in silence and in true humility. And humility, we've already learned that it's not making ourselves low. Humility, in A Course in Miracles, is accepting who we are in God, accepting how and who God created as the one Son, which we are an aspect of that one Son. So it means when God says you're perfect, whole, and complete, we don't say, no, I am not. We say, yep, that's true. And that's really freeing, you know, because I know when I look back at my life, I always thought that I had to. Yesterday, you know, we're talking about all the different possessions and how they've shown up in our lives. I just always thought that I had to be something or go through all these hoops in order to be okay. And to just say, I seek God's glory, to behold it in the Son whom He created as my true self, that I am perfect, whole, and complete, that, you know, it's okay if I fumbled the ball over here. It's okay if I, you know, I didn't come through the way even maybe I hoped that I would have. You know, these are huge lessons because we can be so hard on ourselves and we can be so hard on one another. You know, as a coach, we see this every day is how folks are so hard on one another and on themselves and one another. You know, it's just a reflection of what's going on inside. I do believe so many times when, you know, we're hard on others because we're also just hard on ourselves. And that's kind of how it plays out. But, you know, to just kind of sit back and let Him lead the way. You know, another lesson from way at the beginning, I will step back and let Him lead the way, is that this silence and true humility and just to kind of rest in this idea of who we truly are. I think this is another lesson that I really needed this today.
It reminds me of something I wanted to bring up today based on something you said yesterday, is that when your pursuit of that third type of possession, that right spirituality, you said, oh, I was always looking for the right doctrine.
Oh, yes.
And then you said you felt that way until about three years into studying A Course in Miracles. And we didn't make it totally clear on that one. It wasn't that now A Course in Miracles became your right doctrine and it's like, oh, I finally found the right doctrine. A Course in Miracles had taught you that you didn't need to find this quote unquote right doctrine, the perfect doctrine.
Yes, and that's the why we want to always keep going back to 189, lesson 189. Whenever we're tempted to make this a religion, whenever we're tempted to say, "Oh, you know, this is what we believe here." No, go back to lesson 189, because that's it. You know, and I think it took 3 or 4 years of being a student of A Course in Miracles to really believe lesson 189 and take it seriously. Because I remember when, you know, the first few years, you know, like, forget this course. What? Forget this course. I was just really getting into the course. And really forgetting the course is, you know, Jesus's way of saying, don't make this another hoop you have to jump through. Don't now start comparing your journey with A Course in Miracles to somebody else's journey with A Course in Miracles. Don't be thinking your interpretation, you know, and then start arguing about interpretations, because that then you just got off the track. And yes, that's exactly what has been so freeing, is there's no right doctrine. And I just really appreciate the course so much, as I've continued to do what I would even call a, you know, my spiritual search in life after becoming a Course in Miracles student, because it's just a part of my life. And so anything that I'm studying or that I'm, you know, come in contact with, I look at it kind of through the lens of A Course in Miracles, and just also use the tools in A Course in Miracles, you know. So if something happens that I'm confused by, or hurt by, or angry by, you know, I just become angry, then I'll say, okay, so what is this for? That's what we're direct, you know, we're asked to say. Just, you know, inside, say, okay, now what is this for? And then we are shown, what is this for?
And we might not be shown, or at least have understanding for a while.
True, and we always do. I would say what I've my experience of the course is, and it may not be anything that I would have ever thought of myself, but there's always, when I look back, I think, I get it. I was stuck here, and this certain thing happened, and that was actually very helpful for me. Now, when we're talking about tragedies in life, you know, like someone, you know, getting killed that we love, or finding out that our little daughter has a disease, or something like that. That's, to me, in another category. That is, it's hard to say, you know, what is it for? But what I do in those situations, and what I recommend doing that in those situations, is to really ask for guidance through it, and know that we're not alone through the tragedy.
One aspect of A Course in Miracles along this line, and especially having to do with the what is it for, is we can't just go off using that willy-nilly. And what I mean by that is in the course in chapter 17, when we are trying to live from that Holy Spirit thought system, when we're making that our main form of consciousness rather than just like dipping into it when we need to, and then just basically living from the ego the rest of the time, is that when we're asking what is it for, that is assuming that we're also asking, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say and to whom? We're not having a situation and then trying to look back and say, okay, well, what was that for? Because then what happens is our ego tries to come up with the right reason.
That's why I used the words "you will be shown," because we can't figure it out when we're in the ego, you know. And also too, you use the word "trying to come from the Holy Spirit thought system," and I like to think of it more like we're just allowing the Holy Spirit thought system. Because when I get into try, that's when I'm trying to make things happen.
Yeah, that was more of a striving and grasping word. And I
Yes. Yeah.
understand that I guess my point is there's a line here. I think about this a lot because it says, without a clear-cut positive goal set at the outset, the situation just seems to happen and makes no sense until it all has already happened. Then you look back at it and try to piece together what it must have meant, and you will be wrong.
Yes, and I do think that that's a that's the experience of living in the ego.
Yeah, as we then try to put all the pieces together and say, okay, well, what did this mean? Well, this must have meant that, this job really wasn't supposed to work out for me because, there's another job waiting for me. But if we weren't starting from the place of what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to say and to whom? Or that's the energy we were bringing into the situation. And then we're using the ego thought system to try to figure out what it's for, come up with a meaning, and then we have these tragedies like you mentioned. Then we go back and say, well, what was that for? And then we start using the ego thought system to figure that out as well.
Because too, another thing that I think we need to remind ourselves of is, you always bring this up, this happened, that happened, and Jesus even says in A Course in Miracles, and when he's talking about the Holocaust, it says, and he shed many tears over this.
Yeah.
That's why I say, when we're asking for guidance, so maybe to be more clear here. So when we're asking for guidance, and we're really like, so you're asking for guidance whether to move or not. And you say, okay, I want to listen for guidance. I want to be willing to see the guidance, and I want to just accept the guidance. I just really want to be guided in whether I move or not, making this practical. And things happen, things kind of fall into place, and you think, gosh, it seems to me that I'm being led to move. And then you move, and you do all that that entails, and you move. And then you get there and you go, ugh, what the hell? I prayed, I asked for guidance. This isn't what I was thinking about. That's to me when we say, okay, so what is this for? What's going on? And in my experience, I have, and my, the experience of the course students that I've, really spent time with is most of us pretty much get a clear idea. Maybe it might take 2 years, it might take 5 years, but we kind of get an idea. It's like, oh, I see what I was doing here. Actually, through that, I learned whatever that lesson was. That's to me is where we are saying, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say and to whom? And we are asking for guidance, and we are including the Holy Spirit, and we're acting in the way that we think we are guided. And to me, we are, even if it doesn't turn out to be like this perfect thing, because there were the lessons there. And that's where people kind of say, well, he says right here in the book, that this is your body is a learning device, and you're in a classroom. And so all the gems that we get from even this experience that wasn't so cool. And I always also like to say, and please, if someone is, or if you are all, if you're experiencing a tragedy in your life right now, that really isn't the time to say, what is it for? Or to tell someone else to say, maybe it'd be nice to say, what is it for? No, this is just a freaking tragedy. And I, the, what I really can do here is say, I know I'm not alone. That doesn't mean the tragedy didn't happen, because it also says Jesus wept.
Yeah,
Tragedies happen in the ego thought system. And sometimes we can guilt ourselves. Like, if I wouldn't have done this, this wouldn't have happened, or other people come. I hate to say this, but kind of like more spiritual people will say, something that's not quite as sensitive as it would be nice if they would, and then you just feel very awful.
well, if there isn't this experience of love at the end, it's not a creation. It's a making with the ego. And the world, we have to be honest with ourselves, the world is mostly just ego.
That's right. And so when you say there's love at the end, what I have felt in my life, and also what I've heard from people that really went through, like one gal, she was in our Course in Miracles group years ago, and she was talking about when she had lost one of her children. And she said, you know, she said it was the biggest tragedy of her life, and she knew she was being held through it. So there was some, you wouldn't say that was a peaceful situation, but
The
there
being
was,
held through it is the love.
yes, that's the love, but not that this really awful thing didn't happen.
Yeah, and that's where we really have to dial in and say, well, which part is the love? The tragedy? No. Being held in within the tragedy?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And
And
she said she couldn't tell you exactly what she meant by that. She just knew inside that she was being held through the whole thing.
right, I know that experience too. Would I like go back and say, "Wow, I'm just so thankful that happened"? No, I would not. And I know I was being held through the situation. I had this example where, someone, they're thinking about possibly moving, and then they're trying to tune in and check in. Okay, should I move? If so, where? Or do I just stay put? There's really, we'll say, some due diligence behind it.
Well, it was actively inviting love in.
Okay, so actively inviting love in. I love the way you put that. Then, if you've been around where we live long enough, there are so many people that say, "I hate it here. I can't wait to leave." And they'll just like zip off somewhere. But see, the difference in that is, they're coming from, "I hate it here." That's the energy. Their move isn't really checked in on and guided. It's like, "I just can't stand it here." It's really not that bad. And then they take off, hoping that wherever they're going is going to be someplace better. But then, of course, wherever you go, there you are. And so the kind of the energy surrounding it is not, there's no check-in. There's just like this very reactionary, "I can't stand it here, so I have to leave."
And that's when we invite love in. You know, sometimes we're hurting so much we don't know how to invite love in. And I also want to kind of acknowledge that too, is that sometimes something can happen, or, you know, if as the events unfold, and it might be months down the road where you say, you know, I think I can ask for guidance right now, because we are just human, you know. And yes, we're eternal spirit, and yes, we are not a body, we are free, we're still as God created us. And we're also having this experience in the ego thought system that can be quite traumatic. And, you know, it seems like everyone wants to be able to kind of explain it, things away. So that's where the what is it for? I do believe we're given the answer to that when what we did, we from the like so like if the move didn't work out, right? But these things that just all of a sudden pop in your face, and and we can say, you know, it might take us a month to say, I wonder, oh, I would really be willing to open this up and be shown what was behind this, or what do you want me to learn from this? Or I do want to speak to your example of when we moved where we live right now, years ago. We moved here and we just got here, and it seemed like, you know, two out of every five people that we met said, oh, you know, I can't wait to get out of this place, and this is awful. And it was really jarring, you know. I mean, for me it was like, wow, I just really, you know, moved. I did this big move. You know, even in a situation like that, when I want to maybe share this, is that I really didn't invite love in when I decided to make that move. And I don't think my husband and I did. It was just like, okay, you know, let's try this. And it was more of a what you're talking about. And I will say though, that remember, when we're in the ego thought system and we're coming from that ego thought system, and that's kind of all we know, That voice for God still is speaking to us all through the day. And the Holy Spirit thought system comes into our ego thought system, and that's the whole waking up process. So I can say honestly, I didn't invite love in at all.
But then it took you like 20 years to really like where you live now.
Yes,
And then you always thought, well, happiness is going to be when I move somewhere else, specifically Hawaii. Like, if I could go to Hawaii, then I'd be okay. But then when you started bringing love into where you live, you really like it.
Yes, I really like it and I feel very content now, but it took like, I've lived here for 23 years and it took me probably 20 years to feel like this. And so, even if we're making a move from the ego, love can come in if we allow it. There's that part of it too. So there's a lot to this lesson. I know for me, it just was, in silence and in true humility, meaning I can accept who I truly am in God and not have to figure this all out by myself.
In fact, you can't figure it all out by
No, and you
yourself.
can't. You just can't. So we wish you a wonderful day practicing lesson 211. I am not a body, I am free, for I am still as God created me. I am the Holy Son of God Himself. See you tomorrow.
See you then.